All right, we're going to get started. We're still in the Torah portion, Shemot. Shemot is Hebrew for names. Names, Hebrew names is important. You know, we've been, this week was taught a little bit about how important it is, history, the language, and the context. And that really helped me kind of hone in on what we've been doing all this time, because that's basically what we've been doing this whole time, is going back and looking history under the language and in its context. And Shemot was about the names. We talked about the names. Names are important. Everything Yehovah says, everything our Elohim says is important. His language is important. The history, where it came from, Abraham, when he came out of his people, those people, out of paganism, he came out of all of that, and he became a Hebrew. And Yehovah is the God of the Hebrews, that word Hebrew, and it's a language. It's a language of the Israelites. There's no other like this language. This language, I was talking to Brother Scott about it the other day, there is no other language like it. It's incredible. We've been learning a lot from it, and if you don't know the language, you're not going to know a whole lot of what Yehovah is like and a lot of things that he speaks about. And in Exodus 1, 6 through 10, just kind of giving a little recap. And Joseph died and all his brothers and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and they increased very much. And they multiplied and became very strong. And the land was filled with them. And their new sovereign arose over Mishraim, who did not know Joseph, and said to his people, "See, the people, the children of Israel, are more and stronger than we. Come, let us act wisely towards them, lest they increase. And it shall be, when fighting befalls us, that they shall join our enemies and fight against us, and shall go up out of the land." So Joseph's dead. And if you think about it, these people, the Israelites, they're living what they were taught. What were they taught? They didn't have the Torah. They didn't have anything written. All they had was what Abraham from the beginning. What did we learn on Wednesday night? What Brother Scott was talking about. He talked about coal. He talked about a voice. And we need to learn the language. We see in the history where Abraham come from, and we see the language. Coal, you learn this word Shema. Shema is a Hebrew language. Shema is to hear and do. Hear and obey. Shema and coal. Hear and obey what? The voice. His voice. Abraham heard his voice, and he obeyed his voice, and that's how he began his journey. He went in a place where he didn't know where he was going, but there was these in-betweens. There's these in-betweens that he was told by Yehovah, and it was counted to him as righteousness because he believed what he said and he obeyed him. You know, faith without works is dead. You got to be obedient and do something for it to work in your life. And so, then you have Yitzhak, and then you have Yaakov, and they all had to do the same things. We had Yaakov. He had to learn how to be a shepherd, and it was for a reason. He had to learn. He had to do all these things. He had fear in his life, but he had to grow in it. He heard, and he followed the voice, and did what he said, and that's how he learned. And all the way to now, you got Joseph. Joseph, through the dreams, and all of them, through messengers as well. It wasn't just the voice, it was through messengers. Abraham meets up with the messengers, the three messengers. Yehovah speaks to him. And then you have Yaakov, he has a dream, he sees the ladder. And then he has encounters by the well. And then you have Joseph through the dreams. And then Yaakov dies, and then you have Joseph left. And all these generations, they're following what they told. They're following the instructions of Yehovah and doing exactly what he told, all the way up to this point. And so at this point, the more they're pressured, the more they obey to do, because this is all they know. So if you think about us, when we was raised up, we defended everything we knew. Whether it was right or wrong or whatever, that's what we defended. And that's what most people do today. They defend whatever it is they know. They believe that this is true, and they guard it with all their life, just like they did. And we today, finding out the truth now and putting the truth in our lives, ought to do the same thing. We know the truth now. We shouldn't run away from it. We shouldn't hide when ridiculed and cast down and name called. We know what the truth is. You stand for what it is. That's what they did. And they increased even more. It should pressure us to get closer to Yehovah and learn even more and do more of the things and say, hey, I'm not afraid of you. I'm afraid of the one who could destroy my soul in the grave. A man could kill me, but he could raise me back up. A man can kill me, but you can't destroy my soul like he can. So that's why they were afraid of Elohim and what he could do, not what Pharaoh could do. And so that's what we read on here. And here's Pharaoh, this new Pharaoh. He doesn't know much about the history, apparently, because he says, I don't know this. He didn't know this, Yosef. And so he comes against them, but yet he doesn't realize way back in history, if it wasn't for Yehovah and if it wasn't for Yosef, he wouldn't exist. He wouldn't be where he is today. Everything at that time was under a famine. If Yosef didn't go with the plan that Yehovah had set in place, the in-betweens, to get them there, there'd be no Israel and there wouldn't be no Pharaoh right here in this point in time. And it's the same thing for us today. If it had not been for Yosef and the things that Moshe is going to go through, we wouldn't be here today. So it's important to know the history, to know the language, and then we're going to get into some Brit Hadishah tonight to see the context of everything. The book is a whole. You have the Torah, you have the written Torah and the prophets. It can't save you just holding it. You gotta listen to what it says and obey it, and that's what the Brit Hadishah is. It's a demonstration of the real. Yeshua HaMashiach is the living Torah, and he shows us how to live it. By the Spirit of Yehovah, the same voice, the same call that he listened to. And I just can't get over something that somebody posted the other day. I looked at the picture of this guy. They put a picture of a Hebrew guy. And they pictured him as if maybe close to what Moshe was looking at in the fire, but he had the beard. Because the scriptures describe what Yehovah is like. Made in his image and his likeness. This is what he's like. So Yeshua said, when you look at me, you've seen the Father. If you want to know what the Father's like, you've seen him when you look at me. So just as well as the living Torah, I'm pretty sure when he had his beard and he's looking at him, this is what my Father's like. If you want to meet the Father, if you know me, you know the Father. I and the Father are one. He's just like his Father. And so that's how we should be, learning off our older brother, learning off our master, learning off of the one who is right by the right hand of the Father. To be like him, he loved to be like his Father. And we should love to be like our Father. What's my Father like? I'm sure all of us was raised with our fathers, our grandparents. Some of you was raised up with some men that really knew how to do boat works. And Pastor talks about it all the time. Sister Gloria's daddy, correct? Is the one who used to always do the boats and you watch what he liked and the way he did it. That's the same thing with the Father. What is he like? What is he like? And I want to love what my dad likes. I don't want to do what my dad likes. And that's what we're growing and learning to do, is be like our Father. And you got to remember, a lot of this pressure that we're going through, and we're going through it. There's a lot of pressure, but it's for our own good. He said, because I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to get you closer to me. Because if there's no pressure, the flesh is inevitably going to pull you in to being lazy, slacked, and not wanting to do it. It's easier just to sit down and relax and not do a whole lot. It can get on you really quick. A little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of hands, and poverty will come so quick. We know how to work with all our might. But we also need to get in these scriptures and study and learn what he's like, what his dislikes are, and start doing those things. And we learned about the word Ibri, Hebrew. H5681, one from beyond. And that was a Hebrew. And so he's the God of the Hebrews. We've got to remember that. He's the God of the Hebrews. In 2 Corinthians 11:22, what does Shaul say? 2 Corinthians 11:22. This stuck out to me. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they of Israel? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Where does this language and talk come from? Where does he get this from? Philippians 3:5 says, he says, circumcised the eighth day of the race. He says, the race, the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, according to Torah, a Pharisee. And in another place you see the word Hebrew is in Genesis 14:13. I like to go on my Esau and I like to pull out things out the Brit Hadishah and find that word, Ibri, in the Torah. And you go to the, and you just start looking around and go find the definitions of each in the Hebrew and in the Greek. And the one who had escaped had informed Abraham, the Hebrew. So he's called a Hebrew in Genesis 14:13. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 22-33. 2 Corinthians 11:23-33. Are they servants of Messiah? I speak as beside myself. I am more, in labors much more, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in debts many times. Remember we talked about Shaul? They even thought he was dead. He was dead, and he was brought back. 5 times I received from the Yehudim, 40 stripes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in many travels, in dangers of waters, in dangers of robbers. The pressure was on Shaul, in dangers from my own race, from his own race. We may have one or two maybe come against us, but it's his own race. In dangers from the nations. From what? The nations. In dangers in the city, in dangers in the desert, in dangers in the sea. And what did it do? It pushed him to do it even more. Dangers among false brothers, in toil, in hardship, in watchings often, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, in cold. And he's still alive to tell this. He didn't die. Yehovah kept him alive this far. And I'm sure he still had in mind, and though I die, I'll still be raised, but I'm going to go all out. I'm going to do everything I can. They may kill me, but they can't destroy me like Elohim can, the God of the Hebrews. And he says, I am a Hebrew of Hebrews. I'm an Israelite of the Israelites, and I am the seed of Abraham. He says, in fastings often, cold and nakedness, besides the matters from outside, what comes upon me daily. And look at this one. The anxiety for all the assemblies. Sometimes you have anxiety for the others in the assemblies. You know, sometimes you say, hey, you know, keep your eyes on your cup. But you have concern. He had anxieties about the assemblies. He was praying for the assemblies. Who is weak? Am I not weak? He just gave you a mouthful right there. A list for it. Who is made to stumble? And I do not burn inwardly? If I have to boast, I shall boast of matters that show up my weakness. The Elohim and Father of our Master, Yeshua Messiah, who is blessed forever, knows that I'm not lying. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the sovereign, was guarding the city of Damascus, wishing to seize me. But through a window, I was let down in a basket by the wall and escaped from his hands. He even had means of escape to continue doing what he was called to do. He was up against it for obeying and following instructions. And Israel was up against it in history through the adversity, they increase more. That's what we just read. And you got to remember, it's Yehovah's plan. It's always been His plan to draw His people closer to Him. It's not to hurt us, it's to help us. Bringing His family back together in His perfect plan, if obeyed, there'll be no loss. Jeremiah 29, 8 through 14. You know, I'm going to go a little ahead of myself, but when it gets to Moshe, and when it gets to Shemuel, he tells them ahead of time what's going to happen. He even tells Shemuel to tell him, hey, look, is that what they want? They want a man? They don't want me? This is what's going to happen to him. He tells them the in-betweens. He tells Moshe. We're going to get into that. Moshe, in Shemot chapter 3, he tells him. He says, hey, this is what's going to happen. This is what they're going to do. But this is the end result. This is what's going to happen. And that's the in-betweens. And so Moshe has got to take that by faith, that's unseen. It's only but what Yehovah said. But he's got to go do that. And it's shaky. And it says he was trembling. He was afraid. But how many know later on, he gets bold after he grows for a while. When he goes up on the mountain and he comes back with the tablets. You know, he's not no more. It takes some time. We all got to learn. We all got to grow. We're fearful in a lot of areas. I'm not even going to lie to you. It's still a little fearful to get up here. You're still growing and you're learning and you're wanting the Spirit to lead you and guide you. Because that's what Pastor said. If you don't let the Spirit lead you and guide you, you'll be scared half to death to come up here. It's a really scary thing to try and lean on your own thoughts and understand. And you really got to listen to the Father. You got to study. You got to pay attention. And you got to obey. You got to live this. This can't just be a little study to bring as a show to somebody. This is like life and death. This is the real deal. It says in Jeremiah 29, 8 through 14, for thus said Yehovah of hosts, Elohim of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you. You got to pay attention to this because this is going on today. Neither listen to the dreams which you are dreaming, for they are prophesying falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares Jehovah. For thus says Jehovah, when 70 years are completed at Babel, I shall visit you and establish my good word towards you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans. Who knows them? He does. Who are we to look up to and follow? Him. It says, I know the plans I'm planning for you, declares Jehovah. Plans of shalom, peace, and not of ra, not of evil, to give you a future and an expectancy. Then you shall call on me. He's trying to get us to call on him. I need help, Father. And he'll help you. I need help in this area, Father. And he'll help you. Yeshua, you standing at the right, sitting at the right hand of the Father. I need help in this area. Please help me. And that's what he wants. He wants the pressure to come against you so you turn to him and rely on him. Because if we don't rely on him, we're going to end up relying on a man. And time again, he told him, if you rely on a man, they're going to lead you in error and you're going to end up dead. You got to listen to what I'm trying to tell you. Plans of peace and not of evil to give you a future and expectancy. Then you shall call on me and shall come and you will pray to me. Ask the Father. Pray to the Father. And I shall listen to you and you shall seek me and you shall find me when you search for me with all your heart. Levi, with all your heart and your mind. And I shall be found by you, declares Jehovah. And I shall turn back your captivity and shall gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares Jehovah. And I shall bring you back to the place from which I have exiled you. And I'll tell you what, going through this Torah portion and getting into chapter 6, when I got to verse 1, I couldn't stop there. And I was like, man, I want to scratch all this on Wednesday. And I want to talk about, he said, I am Yehovah. That done a lot to me. I'm sitting in my vehicle reading this and I'm weeping. I'm like, I am Yehovah. And I want to read it, but I want to wait till till Friday on that one, but I'm telling you, it's like, it's the max. It's the everything you're looking for when you get to I am Yehovah. I am all existent, always I am Yehovah. I am, he said, I am. And in the Hebrew. In 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, 1 through 10. Shaul and Silas and Timotheos, to the assembly of the Thessalonians and Elohim, the Father and Master, Yeshua Messiah, favor to you and peace from Elohim our Father and the Master Yeshua Messiah. And this is what we do. This is what I do at home. We give thanks to Elohim always for you. I've been praying for a lot of my brothers. You know, like Brother Rob, he's going through it right now. You know, work, and he's getting all that redone. We call and check up on him. And you know, he told me, he said he heard a pop noise, and he was concerned that it might have come loose. So I'm praying for my brother. I'm like, look, I just pray and hope that that was your imagination. And so he got a checkup. I'm sure he's going to tell everybody about it. But I'm with my brother here. I'm praying for my brother. And he said, it's all okay. It's all good. I was like, amen, it's all good. It's still there. It's anchored. And so I'm thinking about my brother. I'm thinking about, you know, certain ones that can't come here on Wednesdays. They got work, and maybe some of them sick, and I'm praying for them. I'm like, Father, thank you for strengthening my brothers, and that they keep learning as we all learn together and growing together, praying for one another, ceasing not to give thanks for each other. It says, remembering without ceasing your work of belief and the labor of love and endurance of the expectation of our Master Yeshua in the presence of our Elohim and Father, knowing, brothers, beloved by Elohim, that you were chosen. Because our good news did not come to you in word only, but also in power and a set-apart spirit and entire confirmation, as you know, what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Master, having received the word in much pressure. How did they receive the word? It comes in much pressure. With joy of the set-apart spirit, so that you became an example to all who believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you the word of the Master has sounded forth. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your belief towards Elohim has gone out, so that it is unnecessary for us to say whatever. For they themselves report what kind of reception we had with you, and how you turned to Elohim from idols to serve the living and true Elohim, and to wait for his Son from the heavens, whom he raised from the dead, Yeshua, who is delivering us from the wrath to come. That's incredible right there. So we're going to begin right here on slide 19. The result of the persecution in Mishraim was that the people cried out to Yah, and he looked upon them and acknowledged them. In stating that he knew their situation, the word used is from a root which indicates a depth of knowledge akin to marriage relationship. Hence, an intimacy based on his covenant with them, which he was about to keep. This cry was the cause for great manifestations of power during the Exodus. Supernatural acts of power are a result of our sacrifice to Yah. In the apostolic era, we see that there were positive results from pressure that the congregation in Jerusalem was under. It caused them to pray fervently. Instead of praying to be delivered from the oppression, they prayed for power to resist and increase in the midst of it. Our response to persecution is not to run and hide, but rather to increase and to spread the Torah and the message of Messiah, Yeshua, and the power of the Spirit even more. And Yeshua demonstrates, Shaul demonstrates that when you read in Thessalonians, in his words in the Brit Hadishah. And you can read that in Acts chapter 4 and 8. Be it no surprise, for we were told beforehand in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, 1 through 4. Watch this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, 1 through 4 says, "So when we could no longer stand, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother and servant of Elohim, and our fellow worker in the good news of Messiah, to establish you and to encourage you concerning your belief that no one should be unsettled by these pressures. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For indeed, we did not inform you beforehand. We did inform you beforehand when we were with you that we should suffer pressure, and so it came to be as you know." He told them beforehand, you're going to encounter pressure. It's no surprise we're going to encounter pressure. It's to build the character of Yehovah in us. It's to get us set and ready for what's to come. Because if the pressures don't come and we don't keep building, we're not going to be able to stand. The pressure is going to come, but Yehovah, what does he say over and over in the scriptures? He said, be not afraid. He said, be not afraid. I know the plans I have for you. He said, believe me, I'm with you. And that's what he told Moshe, I'll be with you. And even later on when Moshe goes through it, he says, look, I don't want an angel to go before me. I want you to go before me. I'm not going unless you go. I need you to go with me. I don't want to go by myself. He's learned all this through this time. He's grown and he's known who he relies on and who his life and his hands is in. From 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. It says, "Beloved ones, do not be surprised at the fiery trial that is coming upon you, to try you as though some unusual matter has befallen you." He's warning ahead of time. I don't see how you could read stuff like this and just sit relaxed and say, grace, I don't understand all that. Now when you read the Torah and the prophets and then you read this thing's all together and this thing really happens. It says, to try you as though some unusual matter has befallen you, but as you share Messiah's sufferings, rejoice in order that you might rejoice exultingly at the revelation of his esteem. If you are reproached for the name of Messiah, you are blessed, because the spirit of esteem and of Elohim rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is praised. See, it's the opposite thing. You got to think of it the opposite way. If you are reproached for the name of Messiah, you are blessed because of the spirit of esteem and of Elohim resting upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is praised. For do not let any of your, but do not let any of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or a doer of evil, as a meddler. But if one suffers being a messianist, do you see that word? Messianist in the English is Christian. Messianist is a follower of Messiah. So you want to look up a word messianist? It's in the scriptures right there. And you can look up the Greek word and all and see what it says. It says messianist right there. But if one suffers being a messianist, let him not be ashamed, but let him esteem Elohim in this matter, because it is time for judgment to begin from the house of Elohim. And if firstly from us, what is the end of those who do not obey the good news of Elohim? And if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where shall the wicked and the sinner appear? So then those who suffer according to the desire of Elohim should commit their lives to a trustworthy Creator in doing good. And that's where it kicks in. That's the God of the Hebrews. Well, look, I'm going to trust and do what he's telling me, because he's the one I fear that can destroy my soul. I'm going to do what he says. You can say what you want. You can do what you want. I want to keep following and do what he says. And it pushes me and propels me more to go towards him and do what he says and trust in my Messiah as he speaks to me by his Spirit. And that's how you live. He says, no longer I that live. This scripture came to me today. I hadn't remembered it in a long time. It is no longer I that live, that but Messiah that lives in me. In the life in which I live in the faith, I live by the faith of the, in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of Elohim who loved me and gave himself for me. That's one that I learned over 20 years ago, sitting out in East Bay, out there, sitting in that little office, doing my work and just studying and trying to memorize scriptures. And I didn't even know I'd be here doing this today. It is no longer I that live, but Christ, Messiah that lives in me. I no longer live in the flesh, but I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now that sinks in. So I'm not going to defend myself. I don't have to defend myself when I'm ridiculed, when I'm called certain names in public, or whatever. Say what you want to say. I stick to my Messiah, and I don't defend myself. Yeshua didn't defend himself. He says, I don't defend myself. My Father defends me. I just do what he says. It's not my words. It's his words. If we defend ourselves, we break the Torah. We can't defend ourselves. We can't save ourselves. Only he can. And that creates good character. In verses 21 through 27, this is slides 21 through 27, I'm sorry. In Acts chapter 4, 23, slide 21. And having been released, they went to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders said to them. And having heard that, they lifted up their voice to Elohim with one mind and said, Yehovah, you are Elohim who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The sovereigns of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against Yehovah and against his Messiah. For truly, in this city, they were gathered together against your set apart servant Yeshua, whom you anointed, both Herodes and Pontius Pilate with the nations and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose decided before to be done. And remember, this is all the plan. This is all the plan of Yehovah. And now, Yehovah, look on their threats and give to your servants all boldness to speak your word, by stretching out your hand for healing and signs and wonders to take place through the name of your set-apart servant, Yeshua. And when they had prayed, the place where they came together was shaken, and they were all filled with the set-apart spirit, and they spoke the word of Elohim, the word of Elohim, with boldness. And Shaul was giving approval to his death, and on that day, there was a great persecution against the assembly. So right there, Shaul was giving approval at this time to his death. And on that day, there was a great persecution against the assembly, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the countries of Yehuda, Shamran, except the emissaries. And dedicated men buried Stephanos and made great lamentation over him. He died for speaking everything of where he get it from. Everything about Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Yosef, and Moshe, all the way to that time right there. He spoke those very words and they gnashed their teeth and they closed their ears and they killed him for it. But he knew. He knew whom he trusted in, who was going to raise him, and who could kill him if he gave just one little slack of giving in. Because if you give in, you get tainted. You can't give in or you're tainted. Remember, this is life and this is death. This is knowledge of good and evil. You're tainted. You can't take any good out of knowledge of good and evil. It's the tree of life. And everything in the Torah and everything in the prophets and everything we learn through the Brit Hadashah is our life. It's our life source. It's going to keep us alive. And even though we die, he says, I shall raise you from the dead. The dead in Christ first, at his coming, then those who are there will meet him in the air, those who remain. And not just anybody, that's got to be those who have their garments clean, a white robe, In slide 27, Acts 8:3, but Shaul was ravaging the assembly, entering every house and dragging off men and women, putting them in prison. Now, you got to take this and think about today. We may be being ravaged or maybe ridiculed. Don't count nobody out. It's not the end. We keep praying and just keep praying, asking the Father, please, Father, let there be light instead of darkness. Please, Father, whatever it may be, I'm asking for your forgiveness and stand in the gap for whoever it is, wherever they are. Because this man was ravaging the people of Elohim, and he was arrested on the way to Damascus by Yeshua HaMashiach. Remember, we don't know the in-betweens. We're just going along, following the Spirit, and doing what he says. Then those who had been scattered, it says, and dragging off men and women, putting them in prison, then those who had been scattered went everywhere, bringing the good news, the Word. The Word. So everything they did is just like a true bride and a bridegroom. You know, I think about me and my wife. We defend each other. We love each other. And the same thing with Elohim and his people. They did everything they could to just keep striving because they knew who their bridegroom is and who they stood for. Nothing's going to tear my love away from him. And I'm going to keep doing what he calls me to do because they loved him that much. Nothing in true love can separate a true bride and her bridegroom. Not even death. Not even death. They die for it. That's how they believe so much. And what their forefathers, Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, and all what they stood for. And because of them, they were alive today. And if we give up, what does our generation have? One man. All it takes is one man to go in error and you lose generations. But if you take one man to obey, just like Yosef, just like Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, to obey in his voice and do what he says, this is what happens today. That's why we are here today. And we owe it to them, and we owe it to our Messiah, because he died for us to have what we have today. We should not fear persecution because it is a tool that helps us to increase. When there is no opposition, we can easily become lax in our commitment and dedication to Yah. Conflicts and persecution keep us constantly alert and cause us to be dependent on a Heavenly Father. Don't defend yourself when you are slandered, but increase. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Messiah Yeshua will suffer persecution. And not only the persecution part in our studies. I tell you what, it's been getting a little overwhelming. I say overwhelming, but it's like, I don't know how to put it. It's like, I have so much I'm learning. I'm in a growing and learning stage. And so when it comes to my turn on a Wednesday and I'm on Shabbat and I'm growing and learning the vine and the branches. And, you know, my wife was, you know, I want to mention this. My wife, she caught on to a part about the seed. When Pastor mentioned that, she had already been talking to Casey about the seed. When you plant a seed, it could be thousands of years old, but you put it in the right elements in the ground, it's going to cause it to grow. But after it grows and it becomes a plant, and it's growing, how many know you got to have the right nutrients in the soil for it to grow? If it doesn't have the right nutrients, it'll wither and die. And so when we're going through the Word, you know, we talk about, you know, I thank you, Father, for this day our daily bread. Let it be a nourishment to my body. Well, just like being a vine on the roots, if we're connected to the wrong root system, we're going to die. We won't live. We got to stay connected to the true root system. The true root system is where we get our nutrients to stay alive. Stay true alive, and then we go in the grave and we'll be raised from the dead because we stayed in the true nutrients. And so, going through all these different studies and learning and growing, you know, for 2 days, I'm still trying to learn and I'm still trying to get ready for Wednesday, and I just had to come to that spot and say, Father, I need your help. Help me with this. Because there's a lot we're learning and a lot I'm trying to focus on. And he says, look, just focus right here. And I'm telling you, the Spirit of Yehovah will help you. He'll get you to focus right there. And then it was good from there. And so that's where I went, from where he told me just to focus on this. And again, we're not anybody else. I'm not Pastor Jesse. I'm learning and where I am. And I'm growing where I am. Not everybody's in the same spot. Everybody's got to love each other and help each other out, because everybody is in a different spot and growing. And we just keep praying for one another. Second Timothy 3, verse 12. And indeed, all those wishing to live reverently in Messiah Yeshua shall be persecuted. But evil men and impostors shall go on to the worst, leading astray and being led astray. Okay? So while that's happening, he says, but, there's a conjunction, he said, but you stay minnow. You stay minnow in what you have learned and trusted, having known from whom you have learned them from. And that from a babe you have known the set apart scriptures, which are able to make you wise. There's a lot of scripture and slides in here. I can't get into it tonight. I'd love to. That was another spot I was getting into about the wisdom that Pharaoh had and the wisdom that the Israelites had and the wisdom that Yehovah has versus what man's wisdom is. And there's the wisdom that men had with Shemuel. Shemuel goes to tell him the wisdom that Yehovah has. He says, if you do this, you're going to go in bondage. You're not going to get out. You're going to be stuck. You can have what you want to have, and that's what Yehovah tells them. But there's two different wisdoms, and we don't have time to get into that tonight. But it says, but you stay in what you have learned and trusted. It says, and that from a babe you have known the set apart scriptures, which are able to make you wise for deliverance through belief in Messiah Yeshua. All scripture. We're learning that the whole Bible, all scripture is breathed out by Elohim and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for setting straight, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of Elohim might be fit and equipped for every good work. And remember, faith without works is dead. We got to put our obedience into action. Obedience is what got Abraham where he was. Obedience got Yishak and Yaakov where they were. Obedience. Change of character. Yaakov, he learned how to be a shepherd. I'm glad he learned how to be a shepherd. Who else is a shepherd later on in the Bible we're talking about in this last Torah portion? Does anybody know? Who are we talking about in this Torah portion? Is Moshe a shepherd? Moshe is a shepherd. It says, for this slight momentary pressure is working for us far more exceedingly everlasting weight of esteem. We're not looking on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen passes away, but what is not seen is everlasting. See, what is seen is the course of this world. We're living in a world that's in a mess. This world is in a mess. It's turned upside down. Everybody's really in prison. When they think they're not, they're okay, but everybody's in prison. The course of this world is perishing because of sin. But Yeshua, the Father sent Yeshua to help get us out of it and to make it to the next one. The next one's going to be underneath an incredible set of rules, which we're learning right now, which is unseen in this world. What is unseen is the course of the world to come, governed by that which is eternal. Yeshua is going to be the governor of the one to come, of the eternal government. That's the next world to come. This world we've been stuck in. We was drowning in. But Yeshua come and he chose us. He said, hey, I'm going to pull you out. So he pulls us out. We were drowning. And he opens up our eyes and says, see, I'm going to show you something. That over there is bondage. That's prison and you're going to die. This over here, it's a little pressure, but if you put it on, it's going to save your life. I'm trying to help you. Yehovah is trying to help us. And we continually grow. And we resist the pressure and get pushed towards Yehovah and learn and grow and push them weights. We got to grow. From Abraham to now Moshe, Yehovah gives instructions. He gives as what's to unfold on the road ahead. They have to trust and believe what he says without having seen it, right? There's in-betweens. Like Pastor talked about, I remember them little things. 1, 2, 3, 4. There was hundreds of them. But you don't go to 1 to 110 to 22 to 45. You wouldn't have a pretty picture of a bird or whatever it is that you was drawing. You have a pretty picture once you draw it all out. You got to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Lord at a time. And Yehovah says, I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. It's something that you don't see, but he's telling you with his call, with his voice, this is what's going to happen. And so this is what you're going to have to do. So we'll go back in history a little bit in 1 Samuel, Shemuel. I love Shemuel, chapter 3, verses 10 through 19. And this is where it started back in history, where he heard and he answered. Before I get to the next part, I got to back up a little bit to Shemuel, to where this started from, before I get to where he warns the people of what they're about to do. We got to back up a little bit. So Shemuel, chapter 3, verses 10 through 19. And Yehovah came and stood and called, as at other times, Shemuel, Shemuel. And Shemuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. When we talked about coal, and Yehovah said to Shemuel, see, I am doing a matter in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it shall tingle. That word tingle, when you look it up, they're going to be shaking in their shoes. They're going to be afraid, because so far everything's going smoothly. Eli's sons is getting to do some really bad things in the house of Yehovah. And it seems like everybody's getting away with everything. But Yehovah hasn't had enough. And now he's going to raise up somebody, Shemuel, and he's going to let him know. It says, and in that day I shall confirm against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have declared to him that I am judging his house forever for the crookedness which he knows, because his sons cursed Elohim, and he did not rebuke them. He didn't discipline them. He let it go. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the crookedness of the house of Eli shall never be atoned for by slaughtering or grain offering. And Shemuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of Yehovah. And Shemuel was afraid to report the vision. Now here we are. Here's a foreshadow. This is the same thing was happening with Moshe. Moshe is afraid. I can't speak very well. See, he's having to step into a place he's never stepped in before. And I'm sure it was a little kind of strange when we had the dream come about years ago. When you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed and going places, doing things. And we had a hurricane come. It was crazy. What are we going to do? Everything's destroyed. Everything we thought we had. There's the in-betweens. There's the things that you didn't expect. But Yehovah knew all along. You got to stay in there. You got to stick it out. You got to keep doing what he says. And I'm sure it kind of got shaky for Moshe once he goes there and tells Pharaoh, and he increases the labor. And they're all mad at him now. At first they're with him, but now they're mad at him. And he's like, I told them, but they don't want to listen. Go back and do it. And so he's just got to keep listening. He's listening to the call. He's listening to the voice. The same voice we got to listen to today through Yeshua. We hear the voice. It's a set apart spirit. And Shemuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of Yehovah. And Shemuel was afraid to report the vision to Eli. And Eli called Shemuel and said, Shemuel, my son. And he answered, here I am. You see this a lot in there. Here I am. And he said, what is the word that he spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. Elohim do so to you, and more also, if you hide a word from me of all the words that he spoke to you. And Shemuel reported to him all the words and hid none from him. And he said, is Yehovah. Let him do what is good in his eyes. And Shemuel grew up, and Yehovah was with him, and did not let any of his words fall to the ground. Shemuel did not let any of his words fall to the ground. He took his word for it. He believed what he said. And he did what he said. So here comes the next part. I had to read that to get to this. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 through 22. And all the elders of Israel gathered together. Well, before I get to that part, there's an in-between. I'll just tell you instead of reading it. They all go to war. They all lose. And the boys die, just like he says, in the battle against the Philistines, I believe it was, against the Philistines. The Philistines even took the Ark of the Covenant. When they come back and report it, there's a messenger, or I don't know if it was a messenger or if it was one that went at war. He come back, and Eli's there, and he comes there. He says, "What happened? What happened?" He says, "Your boys are dead, and they took the Ark of the Covenant." And Eli falls in a panic backwards, and he breaks his neck, and he dies too. Everything Jehovah said was going to happen, it all happened. And if you read a little bit deeper into that, everywhere that Ark of the Covenant went, they got full of boils and disease because it wasn't with the children, with the Hebrews. It wasn't with the Hebrews. It needed to be with the children of Elohim, the Hebrews. So everywhere as that thing went, and it got to a point to where they said, the Philistines said, "We've got to send that thing away. And we've gotten diseases from the rats. So we'll make some gold rats to put on there. And we're going to send it out here. And we're going to put two oxen. And we're going to make a wagon out of wood so that they could use it as to sacrifice to their Elohim. So we'll get rid of all these diseases that are on us." They sent it along the way. And wherever it goes, that's where it goes. And they ended up coming there, and they ended up having it come. And that's what they did. They slaughtered. They said, "Oh, it's the Ark." And so the Ark of the Covenant. So they brought it in. They went and slaughtered the oxen. And they went and made a wood sacrifice with the wood and burned it, and all the diseases quit. But then they all got it because they did it wrong. It's a longer story than that, but I'll just tell you little pieces of it. You can go back and read it. But here we are further down. 1 Samuel chapter 8, 4 through 22. I tell you what, you go to a spot to just read a couple of verses. Then it becomes a chapter. Then it becomes two chapters. Then it becomes three chapters. And you're just sitting there, hours go by because you're really in it. It's like watching a movie. But this is the real deal. This really happened. And this is going to benefit me to know this for the road that lies ahead. Be ye warned that if you don't listen to Elohim through his son, this is going to happen to you. And you look around you and you see all the sicknesses and diseases and the cancers that are in the world. Isn't it obvious? And all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Shamuel at Ramah and said to him, "Look, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint for us a sovereign to rule us like all the nations." From this point on, I didn't know this. I didn't read this part right before this. But I didn't know Shamuel was the leader of them for a long time. He was their leader. And he didn't let not one word fall to the ground of Jehovah. But they came to this point. Here they are. He said, "You are old and your sons don't walk in your ways. Now appoint for us a sovereign to rule us like all the nations." But the word was evil in the eyes of Shemuel when they said, "Give us a sovereign to rule us." So Shemuel prayed to Jehovah, and Jehovah said to Shemuel, "Listen to the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you." You're going to see that in the Brit Hadishah about that word right there. I found it when I was reading yesterday. It is a part in there where it talks about rejecting men or rejecting Jehovah. "Not rejected you, but they have rejected me from reigning over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Mishreim, even to this day, forsaking me and serving other mighty ones. So they are doing to you too. And now listen to their voice, but you shall certainly warn them." He's going to warn them. "And shall make known to them the ruling of the sovereign who does reign over them." And Shemuel spoke all the words of Jehovah to the people who asked him for a sovereign and said, "This is the ruling of the sovereign who does reign over you. He shall take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots and to be his horsemen. And they shall run before his chariots and appoint commanders over his thousands and commanders over his fifties, or to plow his ground and reap his harvest, or to make his weapons and equip for his chariots." It's all going to be for him. He's going to use all your labor and everything for him, just like Pharaoh's doing with them right now in this Torah portion. "And your daughters he is going to take to be perfumers and cooks and bakers, and the best of your fields and your vineyards and your olive trees he is going to take and give them to his servants. And a tenth of your grain and your vintage he's going to take and give it to his officers and servants. and your male servants and your female servants and your best young men and your donkeys, he is going to take and use for his own work. A tenth of your sheep he is going to take. You are to be his servants, and you shall cry out in that day because of your sovereign whom you have chosen for yourselves, but Yehovah is not going to answer you in that day. However, the people refused to listen to the voice of Shemuel and said, no, but let a sovereign be over us. Hard-headed. It's got to be our way. It's got to be this way. We got a better plan. This is going to work. This is the plan. This is going to work. And we shall be as we also like all the nations. You don't want to be like all the nations. Now you want to be like all the nations. They think because they mighty and they got power. And our sovereign shall rule us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Shemuel heard all the words of the people, and he repeated them in the hearing of Yehovah. And Yehovah said to Shemuel, listen to their voice and make to them a sovereign. And Shemuel said to the men of Israel, each of you go to his city. They put themselves back into bondage to the nations. No hope, no future, no expected end. They rejected the Father and his help. The flesh will never accept Yehovah's help. Never. It'll never accept his help. We learn to be weaned off of trusting and relying on ourselves and men. We learn to trust in Yehovah. First Thessalonians. Chapter 4, 1 through 18. This is the last scripture in the Brit Hadishah. If I got time to go into some of chapter 3. It's so much needed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 through 18. For the rest then, brothers, we beg you and call upon you in the Master Yeshua, that as you receive from us how you should walk and to please Elohim, you should excel still more. You should excel still more. For you know what commands we have through the Master Yeshua. For this is the desire of Elohim, your set apartness, that you should abstain from whoring, that each one of you should know how to possess his own vessel and set apartness in respect. Each one of us, each individual, we should learn how to be set apart and grow. I don't rely on somebody else to do it for me. I have to learn how to grow. I have to learn to get my character right. I have to learn how to study and grow and be obedient to Him. Every one of us individually. And respect. Not in the passion of lust like the nations who do not know Elohim. Not to overstep and to take advantage of his brother in this matter. Because the Master is the revenger. He's the revenger. We're not the revenger. As we indeed said to you before and earnestly warned, for Elohim did not call us to uncleanness, but instead apartness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man. You see it? Do you see it? Where did that come from? He does not reject man, but Elohim. He does not reject man, but Elohim, who also gives us set apartness. I just got finished reading that about Shemuel, and then I go right here, and it's right here in the scriptures in the Brit Hadishah. But Elohim also gives us set apart, the set apart spirit. It is not necessary to write you about brotherly love, for you yourselves are taught by Elohim to love one another. For in fact, you do so towards all the brothers who are in Macedonia. But we call upon you, brothers, that you do so more and more, and to make it your ambition to live peaceably and to attend to your own and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, so that you behave decently towards those who are outside and not to be in any need. Now, brothers, we do not wish you to be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep. Now watch this, lest you be sad as others who have no expectation. For if we believe that Yeshua died and rose again, so also Elohim, for if we believe that Yeshua died and rose again, so also Elohim shall bring with him those who sleep in Yeshua. For this we say to you by the word of the Master, that we, the living who are left over at the coming of the Master, shall in no way go before those who are asleep, because the Master himself shall come down from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of a chief messenger, and the trumpet of Elohim, and the dead of Messiah shall rise first. Then we, the living, who are left over, shall be caught away together with them in the clouds to meet the Master in the air, and so we shall always be with the Master. So then, encourage one another with these words. We're looking forward to our bridegroom. And our bridegroom, when he comes, is going to wake up Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. He's going to wake them all up. Yosef, Moshe, Dawid. He's going to wake them all up first. And those who remain at his coming will be raised, meet him in the air. So we all shall always be with the Master and encourage one another with these words. So that's our expectation and what we're looking forward to. So we will try and read Shemot chapter 3, a little bit about Moshe, and in this part right here where we learn about it's time for him. Right here is not just a voice. He gets to see a visual of Yehovah in a fire, and he's going to learn to grow. And so we're going to go to chapter 3. And Moshe was shepherding the flock of Yitro, his father-in-law. This is after he killed the Mishrite, and he fled away, and he's over by with his father-in-law. Yitro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock. He was shepherding. Remember, he's a shepherd. And he led the flock to the back of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of Elohim. All this stuff is important as you're reading through this. And the messenger of Yehovah appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked and saw the bush burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moshe said, "Let me turn aside now and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn." And Yehovah saw that he turned aside to see, got his attention. And Elohim called to him from the midst of the bush, and said, "Moshe, Moshe," you see this in the scripture. Shemuel, Shemuel, remember that? Abraham. You see him, "Moshe, Moshe," and he said, "Here I am." And Moshe was taught a lot. Remember, his mother raised him. I'm sure his mother taught him a lot about Elohim. He was raised by his mother. All his descendants all came up to know about that already. And so he's raised by his mother. And he said, "Do not come near here. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is set apart ground." And when he says that, we don't know this at this time. If this is all we're reading, we don't know the rest of the book. But later on in the book, we learn what the priests had to do. They had to take their sandals off their feet. That's what we learn later on. So after you learn that, when you come back to this again the following year, or you're going back through your Bible, you see what that means. You see what he had to take off his feet and for what reason. That's when they went into the Holy of Holies. And he said, "I am the Elohim of your father, the Elohim of Abraham." Notice how he comes in and labels him. He says, "I am the Elohim of your father, Abraham, the Elohim of Yitzhak, and the Elohim of Yaakov." And Moshe hid his face, for he was afraid to look at Elohim. I'm sure his mother talked about Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And Yehovah said, "I have indeed seen the oppression of my people who are in Mishreim, and have heard their cry because of their slave drivers, for I know their sorrows. And I have come down to deliver them from the land of the Midianites, and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now see, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Midianites oppressed them. And now come, I am sending you to Pharaoh, to bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Midian. And Moshe said to Elohim, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Midian? Okay, here goes the beginning of the growth. We got to learn how to grow. This is what Moshe is going through. This is a fearful thing for him. And he said, Because I am with you. What did Jehovah say? I am with you. And later on we learn that Moshe, he says, I'm not going with a messenger. I'm not going unless you go. He's always used to him being with him and going with him everywhere as he went. He was always ahead of him. In their journey out of here, as we later learn, they went by fire by day. Remember that? And so he says, I am with you. And this is to you the sign that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Midian, you are to serve Elohim on this mountain. So this mountain becomes a landmark. We'll read about that throughout the rest of the scripture going forward. But this is the beginning of it right here. And Moshe said to Elohim, See, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, The Elohim of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? And Elohim said to Moshe, I am that which I am. And he said, Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And Elohim said further to Moshe, Thus you are to say to the children of Israel, Yehovah, Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my remembrance to all generations. Go, and you shall gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, Yehovah, Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Jacob. He keeps stressing this over and over, and we're to use that today. That's what Yeshua used. That's what we use today to remember our forefathers. How did they come out of paganism? You got to go back to Abraham. How did he come out? Yehovah called him out. And it was counted him as righteousness because he believed what he said. And he shows him how to come out. And all the rest of them, that's how you learn to grow and how to come out from among them and be a Hebrew. And appeared to me, saying, I have indeed visited you and seen what is done to you in Midian. And I say, I am bringing you up out of the affliction of Midian to the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, and to a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall listen to your voice, and you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the sovereign of Midian, and you shall say to him, Yehovah, Elohim of the Hebrews, has met with us. And now please, let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness to slaughter to Yehovah Elohim. But I know that sovereign out of Midian is not going to let you go, not even by a strong hand. And I shall stretch out my hand and strike Midian with all my wonders, which I shall do in its midst, and after that he shall let you go. And I shall give this people favor in the eyes of the Midianites, and it shall be that when you go, you shall not go empty-handed. But every woman shall ask from her neighbor and from the stranger in her house objects of silver, objects of gold and garments, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters and shall plunder the Midianites. And we know what happens, and it did. We'll go to slide 326. And we'll just go over a couple of these. We only got a few minutes left. 326. Now remember, this is a Bible study. We need We need to keep exercising. Pastor mentioned the word the other day. He said we've got to exercise in the Spirit. When we come here on a Wednesday night, we're exercising. We come here on a Friday night, we're exercising in the Spirit. And we come here on a Shabbat, we're exercising on Saturday. And we go home, we should continue throughout the day exercising. Because we don't get that much exercise when we're at work. We can pray and we can have what we had the day before or that morning. Get up early in the morning and exercise. In the evening, before we go to bed, exercise. Get as much as you can get because you're going to need it. We're going to need it. So that's what we're doing. We're exercising. Slide 326. And we just got finished reading about that. We'll go to 327. In verses 2 through 3, the burning bush. The messenger appeared to Moshe in a flame of fire. The phrase is literally rendered, and he appeared, the messenger of Yehovah. And the phrase, and he appeared, is written in the Hebrew text as vayara. We know that word vayara, which comes from the root word ra'ah, Strong's 87200. And in these two, they're going to look similar, except one's going to have an aleph, and I believe the other one's going to have a hey. To see, look, observe, pay close attention, consider, appear, and provide. The verb is written in the nifl passive tense and therefore is understood as rendering to appear, present oneself to be seen, to be made visible. This is very important for us to understand here that Yehovah literally made himself visible to Moshe. That must have been an incredible moment for Moshe that throughout the rest of his life he could not forget that he got to see a visual in a fire. In Hebrew, the root word ra'ah, Strong's 87200, means to see, look, observe, and pay close attention. And has a similar, here it is, a similar phonetic sound as the word ra'ah, Strong's 87462, with the meaning of shepherd. So I have two of the same words, the only difference is the letters. One is a aleph, and the other is a, no, it's not a hey, it's an ayin, I believe. I might have said that wrong, it's an ayin. Strong's 87462, with the meaning of shepherd, as well as to pasture and graze and feed. So one is to see and look and observe and pay close attention, and the other is to pasture and graze and shepherd and consume and feed. So we take note that the root word for see, appear, contains a different letter. It's an ion, that's what it is. I'm sorry, it wasn't a hair, it was an ion. It contains the letter ion, the letter aleph, and so in the ancient pictograph script, the root word ra'ah, 872, would look like this. It would be a resh, an aleph, and a hey, right? You got a resh, an aleph, and a hey. And so the ancient pictograph script has this letter of an ox head, which represents strength, muscle. It also carries the meaning of a yoke of an ox. And it's also going to picture for us the red heifer. It's aleph. And to see and to be functional in seeing, as we should and can render the following meaning, the beginning of our strength is in the revelation of Messiah, our head, who we praise and serve with our all. So what we take note of is that in the Hebrew we have the similar sounding words, ra'ah, for shepherd, feed, and ra'ah, to see and look attentively. Shepherd and feed, see attentively. Ra'ah. What we're able to recognize in the Hebrew text is that the shepherd unto whom we are to keep our eyes fixed on in order that we are not to be led astray by falsehood and lies is Yeshua, our good shepherd. Now remember, we're learning history, we're learning language, and throughout the whole Bible, we're putting it all in its context from the beginning all the way to the end. Our good shepherd, our strong head that was lifted up and exalted on high and is the one who dwells between the cherubim. Remember, where is Yeshua? He dwells with a cherubim. So he's by the Father. He's the right hand of the Father. It says Psalms 80 verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, who leads Joseph like a flock, who dwells between the cherubim, shine forth. And that's in Psalms. Ro'eh, shepherd of Israel. The good shepherd appeared to Moshe, who was now a shepherd in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush that was not consumed. This is a powerful picture of our Creator, who is a consuming fire, yet all who are in Messiah are not consumed, but protected. So the more we grow in obedient, faith without works is dead. You know what I'm saying? The more we're obedient and we keep our white robes on, the fire won't be able to burn us up. It won't burn us up. It won't consume us. But it's going to consume the adversary. It's going to consume those who are full of sin. Those who are not following after Messiah. Those who are following the wrong system. Those who have been deceived. That don't have the whole of the Torah and all the words of our Master Yeshua. Yet all who are in our Messiah are not consumed but protected. The messenger being in a flame of fire can also cause us to think of another event where the messenger of Yehovah went up to the heavens in a flame of fire after having spoken to the parents of Shimshon, telling a Samson. When Samson's parents had a messenger come and tell him about their boy that was going to be born and raised and how they was going to raise him, telling him that would have a son. Judges 13:20-22, and it came to be, as the flame went up towards the heavens from the altar, that the messenger of Yehovah went up in a flame in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife were watching, and they fell on their faces to the ground, and the messenger of Yehovah did not appear anymore to Manoah and his wife. And Manoah knew that he was a messenger of Yehovah, and Manoah said to his wife, "We shall certainly die because we have seen Elohim." That's pretty incredible. I wanted to read one more scripture in the Brit Hadishah. I'm not going to be able to finish. I had a couple more slides I was going to go through, but we run out of time. We've got 2 more minutes to read John chapter 14. John 14, 5 through 10. And just keep this in mind when you leave here and you go to bed tonight. It says in John 14, 5 through 10, Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you're going, and how are we able to know the way?" And Yeshua said to him, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you have known me, you have known my Father too. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Because he says, well, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You want to know what the Father looks like and what he's like? You look at me, you've known the Father and you've seen the Father if you look and seen me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father too. From now on, you know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, "Master, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." And Yeshua said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. And how do you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak from myself, but the Father who stays in me does his works." So we don't defend ourselves at all, because it is He that lives in us. And if Yehovah lived in Yeshua the same way, because He did and followed the instructions, the same way His Spirit resides in us if we keep doing what He says. But remember, when we make a little fudge, He steps out. He can't be around that kind of stuff. Remember. So we got to represent Him and be like Yeshua. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so the fruits that we bear, bears the fruits of the Father. We bear the fruits of Yeshua, we bear the fruits of the Father. Everything that Yeshua is, the living Torah, everything we learn from the beginning is his likes and dislikes and who he is and his character and what he's like. So if you want to be like your father, you want to be like our father, let's follow the instructions and do what he says. And so we're going to be getting into, well, come Friday, I am Yehovah. I am Yehovah. I'm going to let Pastor get on that one. All right? So if we have any prayers?